Good morning. Today is November 8th, 2016.
Glory.
Glory be. This is Josephine County Board of Commissioners, general discussion, 9 a.m. And the first item on the agenda is, in fact, the only item on the agenda other than other, is fee proposals. Do we have anyone from finance coming over for this? No? Okay. All right. We got a handle? Okay, so did you invite any particular...
Yes.
I did. I know the last time we talked about the fee proposal, we had some questions in regards to some of those items on the animal shelter. Thank you. And so I have animal shelter people here if you'd like to come up for a moment. And I know specifically Commissioner Heck asked about the dog surrender. So we have with us this morning two people.
I'd like to introduce Laura Mills. She's our shelter coordinator. Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Heck, and Commissioner Wilkins.
I'm Laura. Okay, so.
Laura.
So the specific question, as I recall, and that's why I had to come in, was the dog surrender as to why it was on there and compared to other counties or justifications. So if you'd like to talk about that, please, either one of you.
Go ahead, Laura.
The dog surrender fee is only for the owner surrendered animals, which are different from strays. And so these are animals that maybe it's not fitting in the home correctly or something like that. And so we have a surrender fee to encourage people to pursue all other options before the shelter, because population is constantly an issue we face at the shelter. So because we cannot turn away strays and there is no intake fee for strays, we're always full or overflowing of stray dogs. So for the owner surrenders, the fee kind of makes them maybe rehome it on their own or seek other options in the community. And we are happy to help people with those options when they come in. And the fee also helps keep our adoption fees down so that we can adopt out more dogs. Something I should have added to this information I found is that the lower the surrender fee a shelter has, the higher the adoption fee. So for Douglas County, they have the lowest surrender fees I could find, but then their adoption fees are some of the highest. So the money is covering the cost somewhere. It just depends on what end we want to cover it on. And since there is no fee for strays, I think the owner surrenders balances out with the adoption fee to make sure we cover our costs but still encourage adoption.
And how come the several counties do not accept?
They are so full of strays, they don't even accept owner surrenders. So they say we can't handle them. And I know our shelter, if we didn't accept owner surrenders, we'd still be full of strays.
But is that a possibility for us to say we don't accept strays?
The surrenders?
Yeah.
It could be a possibility, but I feel that because we can, I use a lot of networking with the other rescues in this area. We can get creative to make it work, and it's hard, but I think it is important that we're still a resource for those people who can't find care for their animals.
The clarification on the owner surrendering is that's a good distinction. Because as you well know, you hear the stories 10 times more than I ever do.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, this dog is wandering on my property, and I want to just turn them over, and then they got to pay $40 or whatever.
Yeah, that's a free drop.
Yeah, say that's the difference there. Okay.
If it's been in their care for 30 days or more is how we distinguish that.
Okay.
So we ask them that right up front before there's any fee mentioned.
Yes.
Just say, is this your dog? Is this a dog you found? And then we go from there.
You surprised how many 29-day ownerships there were.
Yeah. That's what we found before the cat fee was changed.
Yeah.
Say, is this your cat or a different cat? Because it used to be different. I never thought that. It's not my cat.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions on animal shelter fees? And while we have Diane here, I don't think there are any questions on the public health fees, but if you had any, she's here, so...
No, I don't have.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for coming in.
It's really important to adopt a philosophy for which there are fees so that you're either making something punitive or encouraging something by enacting these fees. What I don't want to see is that you come back next year, and I know that these are moving targets, and so you're adjusting these things, but that there's some consistency with the public that this year my license fee is this, or next year my these fees are going to be kind of like, yep, they're going to be good for a little while. Yeah. That's always been our expectation, previous boards that, and I know that you have refined this tremendously over the last couple of years. It's been, but prior to that, and we didn't really do an evaluation of fees all that often for the animal control. And so finding that sweet spot that makes sense, but it's great. And also, so something that the parks has been working on is when you need to charge $78, it's not 78, it's 75 or 80. And I would encourage that. It's just making it simple from a from an administrative standpoint that you're keeping track of these things. Theirs is a much more cumbersome situation because people are putting money in a box somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then as treasurer's office is having to count it, you guys are having to count yours and submit it, which is much easier. But whenever you can just make it easier for the public to understand why the things are charged the way they are. And the other thing is to reflect cost of service. None of these look like they're outside of the cost of service. Third impound fee, third offense. That's a cost of service and a punitive element as well. That's really key. That people understand that this isn't free. That people need to be responsible for their animals, and that's the first thing. So I do like the idea that you're charging for a surrender element. That people are considering, you know, the responsibility of taking this animal. They probably don't think about it until they have to pay that $5 to $20 surrender fee. But nothing's free.
Right.
Thank you very much.
And we will be there tomorrow night to answer any questions that public has. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a quintessential picture of the county always gets the bad deal. I mean, you're the ogres and you're the ones. But to charge, it costs us $20 to feed this animal for 2 days or whatever it is. So who's paying for it? Well, nobody. I just want to get rid of the cat. Well, why is it? Well, I don't want a cat. You're gonna penalize me because I want to get you wind a clock back up 6 months or a year, and that's part of the whole process of saying I want an animal. It does require food, you know, and that. But we're bucking against the cultural concepts of responsibility and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
38 and 56. 78, those fees, they're based off the current licensing fee, so for a 2 year instead of 20 and 20 to save a few dollars. I modeled after Jackson County, but if there's other numbers that would make more sense there, that is totally.
I looked at that as fine. Okay. You save a dollar a year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good. Good to see you.
Nice to
okay, and I think we have building safety, right?
Let's go with public works first.
You want to do public works? Okay, well, you know, public works.
Building heads or tails.
Yeah,
that's right. Good one.
I didn't know what he was here for, that's why I asked. If I hadn't asked him, he'd be.
So I guess just before I dive in, give you the backstory as to why we do this, Josephine County, like all other counties in the state, as far as I'm aware, accepts roads once they're built to our standard. But to make sure they're built to our standard, we need some background on them as they move along. So in the interest of protecting the public interest that we don't inherit a bad penny, we do quite a bit of inspection, review, engineering review of things before they come online. Driveway approaches are fairly straight ahead. That's more of a, it's already there, typically. And you know, a lot of times it's bringing them up to from the 1960s, now making it official. So a lot of that is more safety related in terms of spacing, visibility, if it's near turns or any vegetation clearing, what's the appropriate width, turning radius, those kinds of things. The two I suspect will be of more interest tomorrow night are those, the bigger ones, the development construction review and the construction engineering and inspection. And they have a lot of hours attached to them. So there have not been a lot of these that have come up. We just got our first one in a couple years recently, and so these are going to be subdivisions of anywhere from 4 to 10 lots, which also would include all the driveways accordant with it. So there is a cheaper by the dozen there. Impact is, you know, if you had 10 driveways, you'd be paying $190 individually, so theoretically a lot of that gets caught. But in general, our costs for that inspection out there in the field of a new subdivision road, say it's a quarter mile long, are going to be about a third road base, a third road surface, and a third drainage culvert related. So again, that all gets back to making sure that the proper base rock was put in, it's compacted correctly, the asphalt was to temperature when it was put down, the culverts are sized appropriately, that kind of thing. The alternative being when we don't, we've got some roads that were not inspected correctly back in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s frequently that are full-blown failures now. You're going to get surface failures. That just happens after 25, 30 years, no matter how good the asphalt is. But we don't want situations where this county accepts a road and 10 years later the thing is slumping and we're out there on the hook because it's now a county-maintained road. So that's why we've got the fee structure where it is. That big one.
And you have a history to defend that. Somebody says, well, that's not fair. That's arbitrary.
We do. And we don't have a lot of data points on that development inspection. Like I said, we had the first one come in recently. But we've set it at a point where I believe we're going to be below 90% of them that come in. I think on the low end, we're going to have a range of about 30 hours for a very cookie-cutter, easy subdivision. Top end, you're potentially 50 hours. So we've budgeted this. We've put this fee in at a 35-hour estimate for time. So we're on the low end. We have a cost account.
How does you have it scalable?
We talked about that with Arthur, and the feeling got to be just the tracking involved and the rare occasions that happens. It just was not going
to
offset.
Isn't it fairly definitive to do it based on the number of homes being served or something like that?
You could base it on. We talked about doing that as having a base of $1,500 and then it's $200 per lot or something
like
that.
I don't like the person being punitively charged for an application that services four as opposed to somebody who's going to take much, much more of your time.
Right.
Building and safety stuff is often scalable based on square footage or
right.
something like that, amps.
I think the tough part will be we could end up with just as many arguments to say a four-lot subdivision in a steep area that's got slope issues
more
and erosion is more of an issue than an eight
flat.
In a flat area. Yeah, so that's the other thing. Our cost accounting system can show us how many hours we have on a project, so if there ever was a squawk to say, hey, this is... I didn't get anywhere near this much into it. We could have that debate with them. I would come to the board if there was an actual request for a refund, because I think 9 times out of 10, that's not going to be the case. Chuck had a system like that when he worked in Beaverton. He said there was only 2 requests ever for a review that came back that said actually they were...
That's another advantage of Time Clock Plus, right?
No, this is in our cost accounting system.
Just trying to make the...
Throw a bone.
So one of the things also that I've been talking to as far as contractors are concerned... I'm going to raise it with planning and building and safety, is the idea that there's an expedited process. So I would be interested in paying a third more or something like that, but I need it done in 2 weeks.
Right.
That kind of a deal.
Right.
I need it done yesterday. I'm at the end of the paving window, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
What's it going to take to get this done?
The tough part would be the
surcharge of $500.
Right. Tough part would be given the low number of these we have,
right.
Obviously we can't hire another person, you know, being like a tenth of an FTE. I mean, I have, if it's a rush job, I've got no problem with, and it frequently happens, our inspectors will be out until 7, you know, when somebody's finishing up a paving job. That's just what happens. And that's typically a bigger road getting overlaid, but it does happen.
Contractors are doing so.
Yeah. I would
be an incentive for them. There should be some sort of an incentive for us.
Right. It is extremely rare where we cannot be out there for a final or a partial inspection within 48 hours. If they call us, say, on the beginning of the day, Monday, if we don't get there by the end of the day, Tuesday, it's almost unheard of.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've got 3 guys on staff that can do it. In a pinch, he'll even go out and do it. That's not a good use of his time. But
right.
I feel like we're at a pretty good point in terms of getting out there and getting looked at. And, yes, there are a lot of, self-created emergencies that we try to work with, and you know, all of our inspectors have all these guys sell, so they're typically crossing on the street to get out there as quickly as they can.
So if you have a comp plan zone change as a new fee, and yet you have a current fee of $110, I understand that.
Comp plan zone change?
Comp plan zone change is in the middle. It's $110 current fee, but it says new fee over there in the notes, and then cost of service is $270, proposed fees $220, current revenue none, expected. So this is your fee for planning's application.
Correct.
For a comp plan zone change for doing the initial. Is there any kind of a reduction off of what, like their pre-application fee on the, no, that's just your time.
Because frequently those pre-apps do not come to fruition.
Right.
And the,
no, it would come. It may come to fruition after they get a comp plan zone change.
It could, right?
Right.
Step at a time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the proposed ones there, those are the doubling to get again back to what the quote 100% was still back in 2009. So this gets us to about 85% or 80% of cost.
What were the fees that you were projecting to increase by 25% over several years to a drive? Does that Arthur, what deposit was that? Plants.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I would like to see that as a progress. We've used that in the past. Okay, mm-hmm. Over the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a tremendous amount of revenue increase, but just as it's phased in, what we've done in planning, I thought we did that in public works. But, it would be like a phased approach that we would increase by 25% over the next 3 years with the expectation of arriving within that 90% margin mm-hmm. at the end of mm-hmm. the mark. That's what I have.
Yeah, I'm going back to 2009. I think it initially came in at 25%. The board at that time said, well, we're good with doing 25% a year for the next 3 years. The amount of development, then of course 2008 came around, and there was no development. So we said, you know, it's not worth upsetting the apple cart for the small amounts. So those handful of them that we're proposing doubling, those get us to about 80% of actual cost on those. And hopefully as there's more development, we're going to have more data points to back check to say, hey, are we close to where we need to be? But I would prefer to set them at about 85% so we have a little more data just to say, yeah, we're not overcharging.
I agree, and I think you could almost refine that information over the next several years if you phased it in over 3 years.
Right.
I mean, it is not a make or break amount of revenue for you.
And in the grand scheme of building a subdivision, plus or minus on a couple $100. Right. Right. So, yeah, that's another.
Does this sound amiable?
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
Okay. That's what I was thinking about proposing. I'm sorry, I had a chance to review that prior to this. You asked me if there were any issues with this, and this is what I kind of had over the rechecks with the idea that any of these adjustments that are, you know, looking at 100%, 100% plus, frankly, in my opinion, yeah, that probably should have been done a couple of years ago, but like you said, the economy was stellar. Mm-hmm. The number of these applications, you're looking at sometimes 2-1 a year. It just makes sense to me, anybody who's using it. And people are not complaining about the amounts that I'm hearing. It's the fact that in your office, they seem to be getting done in a timely fashion. I think building and safety, they get done in a timely fashion. But sometimes in planning, they can take a little while. But that's probably the nature of the application. Yours is very straightforward. Like you said, there are three elements to evaluate. There's drainage, there's base, there's overlay.
Mm-hmm.
What more, you know, we're talking about? An occasional irrigation ditch, which is drainage in the wintertime.
Yeah. They're extremely cynical. Yeah, cyclical. Because, yeah, there's days where Julie could use 10 planters and there's days you can use 3. And, of course, it's never even 6 every day. So that's kind of the same issue we face during construction season with inspection specifically. So if I understood you, Commissioner, then you'd be talking about fees and where they're at, but then looking at that last 15% over the next 3 years out of the fees as proposed.
Current fees, increasing them, and I'm going to refine my proposal instead of 25%. You're looking at all of these are looking to be a 100% increase, and those that are, you do 30% this year, you do 30%, 33% or whatever next year, and you get to 90 in 3 years. Does that sound reasonable, or you want to?
The doubling gets them all to what we're guessing is about 80% of cost.
Right.
So.
You're just out 2 years and 100% of cost.
Right. 80% of cost.
80% of cost.
Right.
I'm proposing a graduated.
Right.
I'm not really picking a percentage. I went from 25 to 30, and I could go to 50. And you next year we
50%
do a 50% next year.
Right.
As an increase.
Right.
You know, so it's.
So you're saying for like the subdivision pre-app, instead of going to 360, we go to 270 and then 360 next mm-hmm. year, which gets us to about 85% of market.
Right.
Do you see any fundamental difficulties with that approach?
It doesn't take us any more time. I mean, I would guess revenue-wise, it would cost us $5,000 to $7,000 this year. I mean, it's in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big chunk.
I mean, as always the case, you get a last 2 years, you paid $100. And this year your bill is $200. Mm-hmm. You croak, but if it's 150, you feel better.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. It's just
of course there haven't been enough of these where folks are going to say, hey, this costs a lot more than it used to because there haven't been that many used to. So I could see either way. I'm fine with either way. It's not going to be the deal breaker.
Yeah, I think I think anything other than a driveway approach, which that one's fine.
And incidentally, as we got those calculated, we called Jackson County, and they're at exactly 190 on driveways as well, although their encroachments are 245, so we're well below that.
Yeah, it's a couple bit more challenging.
Yeah, and I think they spend a bit more time on things like fence placement and stuff like that.
That's what I was going to ask, if they spend more time on it, and that's why.
Yeah, our encroachments are typically just, you know, somebody goes and does a trench cut, and it's a matter of going out there once it's open, going out to check they got traffic control, and going back out to make sure they patched it. So.
Fine with the first two, but the other ones, I think, well, your comp plan zone change, that's a philosophy that we just haven't really, and yours is that you're using a fair amount of time to evaluate and provide input.
And it gives the applicant a chance, if they do pull the plug, they haven't gotten hit by the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more step by step.
So when you have Neil and the new guy,
Eric,
Nora Schwartz,
Eric, yeah,
over there, is that typical, or are you looking to just have Nora Schwartz, Eric?
Yes, that would be the eventual. Right, right. He's going to be doing more of the day-to-day looking at access to the road, those kinds of things. Neil's going to be saying, hey, I'm going to need traffic study for this, more iron stuff. Yeah.
It's around a learning curve.
It is.
And he's being supported in.
Yeah. Okay. And we want to make sure that we've got everything dialed in tight with planning so there's not a disjoint. Because, yeah, when folks have to go both places more than once, it drives them crazy. And by having Nora over there and Eric at our place, it hopefully minimizes some of that as well.
Well, that's great. I like that. Well, you're right. You probably only get a couple of those a year. That seems to make sense.
So basically, from everything under the land use review, all of those would be only doing half of the proposed increase this year,
right?
Half next. Okay. So I don't know what it takes to change that thing. Do I walk across the hall and tell Arthur, here's how we're doing it, or
behind you?
Oh,
he's listening with rapt attention.
He'll present it at the all amendments he proposes,
okay,
and refining at the final hearing, and then we adopt it based on his new revised sheet, okay, that he features with the features of.
And if the question gets asked in terms of why didn't we do these based on actual hours, that just gets into a bad area too, because then we've got folks haggling to say, well, you know, where was that last half hour of time spent, or you know, why did it take him so long to drive out to here? And it just it gets messy and
takes
a lot
of
extra time.
Yeah,
it's as good as we can do.
Yeah, if there's two driveways out there, we don't charge people half as much.
Some people are making out great on a driveway approach. They're way out past Kirby, and folks that are right here in the EGB are paying a little more because it's closer.
Yeah,
it's just kind of the way it goes.
It's a fee.
Yep. Okay.
Good. Thank you. Okay, planning, building, safety. Quite a few things here.
Can we let Connie go? I don't have anything for the assessor's office.
That's all right. I call him my fault. I do have something for the assessor's
office. No. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I wanted to ask her about something on the assessor's
office. Typically, we take a look at it.
Okay. In keeping with the, I was looking through the building safety ones, and I see on this first page, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing permits.
Mm-hmm.
This page.
Okay.
Building safety, summary of fee increases. I see on one where his cost of service is $150, but the proposed fee is $166 for the electrical. But then right below it, the plumbing is $375, but it's $344. So why are we not charging what it costs us, and then why are we charging more on the other one? I just want a clarification as to that.
Well, basically what I've done is I've just taken a 10-county average to get our revenue up to an average across the board with other counties similar to our jurisdiction.
You use the counties that JJ said are similar to us, the ones that we use for
comparables, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's six in population that we use for our
wages.
Wages that we can use for one.
So the way I determine the cost of service is, you know, some of the jobs may take 3 to 4 inspections for a plumbing inspection. Electrical, it may just be one inspection on that. It can possibly be 3. The other thing that I have to take into consideration is the mileage that we travel. Sometimes just for a single electrical inspection, it could be 80 miles round trip.
Mm-hmm.
It may just be 4 miles. These were not easily calculated, you know, based on years past and So I really just decided that the best, most advantageous way of dealing with this is to just look at an average across the board and see where that brought our revenues up so we can stop the bleeding out of our department.
So I think that's a really good place to start with evaluating fees. Almost every department does that, from parks to public works and everybody. But then they kind of discount it. I think Commissioner Walker's point is well taken. From the standpoint that I can't endorse a proposed fee that you say is above the cost of service. That is the top threshold for capturing that. So the $4.50 is as high as I can endorse, and I'm going to have to, you know, on the first two, you know, $150. I think that's her point of saying I can't endorse something higher than that. All of our fees have to be based on cost of service. Or less than. So we're going to have to come up with something that says, well, we're 42. How does 75 sound? You know, that's certainly better than what you're doing right now.
Right.
You know what the average is. Your proposals are the average. And maybe we evaluate it next year and say, how are we doing with that if you're tracking how much it's costing?
Okay.
Well, if we know what the cost of service is and our rules in regards to fees, and I don't know how much history you have of Josephine County, but being able to raise the fees and everything, that is one of the things that is paramount, is you can't charge more than the cost of the service. So if we have some here that we're under and some that are over, then let's just make it the cost of the service. And,
okay,
and then if it's different, you know, if it's different next year, I mean, those would be two to watch. If it's different mm-hmm. next year, then we can change it next year.
I think what he said is the cost of service is not an exact science.
No, it's not. But he does have an estimate of the cost of service. But the fee is $16 more. So is that projected for this year? Is what you think the cost of service would be?
If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to revisit the cost of service and see if I can...
We're making this decision tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow.
This is the time to do that.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be exact, but what mm-hmm. we can't do is err on the side of, well, it could be you put down here, this is what's been advertised.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't mind if you say that, you know, the cost of service is this, but we anticipate that this year, you know, that it's going to be more because, whatever, that's fine.
Okay.
That's why I asked about it, and then there were some that were less. Why weren't they raised to the cost of service if they were less? Is there some justification for charging less than the cost of service?
No. What I'll need to do, if we were to look at the fee increase as the cost of service, and then I can devise a methodology over the next year to try to determine exactly what our costs are. There's so many variables every...
There's a lot of variables.
There's, you know, re-inspections we do. Many of those we don't charge for. If it's just a simple mm-hmm. correction, we don't want to mm-hmm. Be punitive in that.
Yeah.
That
well, it's not that much. I just thought there was a reason for it. So I'm not going to dwell on that.
Well, it's just the element that we can't endorse something that's over what you said is the cost of service, and that doesn't mean it's your fault for getting us. It's just
no. mm-hmm.
I'm looking for something in the way of like a simple sweet spot. So when you're proposing $84.50 for your, and these are, you said these are examples. Are we providing exact permitting costs, or are we giving you kind of like a, okay, so this is about what it costs, what we're endorsing, and you're going to go apply that to a host of different things? I'm not really clear on how, because it says example at the top, the fee description, example, structural permit, mechanical permit, electrical permit, plumbing permit.
On, I'm sorry, where are we at?
Sheet. You're up on the left-hand corner.
Mark, I think
you used the word example, but
I just don't know if I'm making an actual decision or if I'm giving you guidance for applying somewhat of a formula for providing fees.
Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's, once you get further into the details of this, so you have a house and it's based on how many fixtures you have, et cetera. Yeah. So that's the example of
what that typical home would cost that permit, because it does vary depending on the fixtures in the home.
So, if you see across the top there, this is based on like a 2,000 square foot three bedroom home with an attached garage and two baths. Like I said, this is very difficult to figure these things out. Using all the other county, there just seemed to be no rhyme or reason to these other 10 counties' fees.
That's what I don't like. I like there being not everybody's going to look at a spreadsheet and say, oh, well, that makes sense.
But right.
I want to be able to look at a spreadsheet and give it some thought and say,
sure.
So what
I would like to know then, that the you used an example here for a 2,000 square foot house, but if you had a 3,000 square foot house with three bathrooms, there would be additional costs for doing additional inspection.
Not necessarily. No, because you're still looking at the same components of the house all at the same time. So instead of looking at, say, rough plumbing, underfloor rough plumbing for two baths, you're there looking at rough plumbing for three baths. Mm-hmm. So the cost of that service is virtually the same, maybe a few more minutes to review that, but really one stop on that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the state requires the per... fixture fee.
State set fee.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you say, can you give me an idea of where we are? I think the average is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Are we 50% of the average for our fees?
Currently?
Yes.
Or I would say that, I'd say 50% was probably a good...
Pretty accurate.
Yeah. Our fees haven't been changed since 1993. So we're well below...
And regardless of that, also we're well below, but we're also going to have mufflers on our ears because it's going to be a human cry. Mm-hmm. Because 25 years without a change means that's what it should be. So you increase any, there's going to be a human cry. So I think the justification... The policy has been our fees reflect our costs, or the fees reflect the cost. So if we've got a fee of $50 and the cost is somewhere between 40 and 60, that represents a difficulty.
Okay.
We can say, no, our fee is going to be $50 and the cost will never be more than $50. Or it could be $75, but we're just going to charge $50. That's the fee. Mm-hmm. But to say the cost is $25 and our fee is $50, no, can't do that.
Right.
Because that's difficult, and I can see the difficulty of trying to come up with some template in your situation because there are so many variables.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm not...
Yeah, we have homeowners doing the work, which at times take considerable time to go through those inspections. We have really great stakeholder contractors that it's a matter of minutes to do their inspections.
They know it's leave open, available, they
right.
go.
So in thinking about our local home contractors also, our contractors cross borders all the time. Mm-hmm. So I took a hard look at Grants Pass, the city of Grants Pass, their fee schedules, Jackson County, and these contractors move from the city to Jackson County to us, sometimes to Douglas County, what have you. We were, even our proposed average is still below, like, Jackson County. We're a little higher than the city of Grants Pass, but then again, the city of Grants Pass has 3 miles to drive. They also have a huge reserve now because of all the commercial work.
Mm-hmm.
In speaking to Ken Sandlin, building official here, he said he cannot approach. He wants to raise his fees because his fees for like mechanical is like $15, which does not cover their cost to drive 3 miles out. What's that? Well, individual fixtures.
Oh, excuse me.
So, but because of his reserves, because of the amount of money they have received from commercial, he said he just can't go there with fee increases. But in thinking about our stakeholders, and there's a familiarity with
Jackson County and City Grants pass sure. through their fees being, yeah.
I really appreciate you saying that you're interested in looking at it from the perspective of the stakeholders, the people who are, you know, our clients, because they do have a choice to say, yeah, let's just kind of right. pain, it can be too much, and, you know, but I understand your budget has been really challenged over the last couple of years
yeah.
and stuff. One of the things that our fee structures and proposals are supposed to do is have an opportunity for you, the manager, and the liaison to sit down and refine these things. So, you know, that in my opinion, I'm not so sure it happened. And that goes a long way to have it to where we're not having to sit down in a workshop like this and try to refine those
right.
conditions. Where you're, you know, proposing something that's over. And you haven't done this before, I bet, Robert Bryce.
No, I have not.
So your first, mm-hmm. your first
right.
one out of the gate should mm-hmm. not have been done alone. Mm-hmm. Not that you haven't done one of these yet either.
And like I said, the methodology
yours
across
is the most
the
complicated
state.
Fee structure yeah. in the county.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the methodology across the state is just
no
all over the board. There's no absolutely no rhyme or reason. So I was looking at it through... just my knowledge of how long it took me to do inspections
yeah.
since 1998.
What was your fee? You're charging us for putting this together, your fee is what?
I mean, I went through this, and I looked at it, and I'm not going to be able to, I think, give you direction. But what I'm seeing right now is looking to adopt a philosophy. We're looking to try to achieve 75% of the cost of service or something to that effect in this next year. And take another look at it and see how close did we get to that mark. That's my goal, is looking at this, because this is an average, and you've got so many different impact elements to try to average out that it's impossible in a county our size with the task that you're supposed to be accomplishing.
Other things I took into consideration also is we are a one-stop shop. So, you know, I'm multi-certified.
Yeah.
Steven is multi-certified now. And Frank, who's a new hire, he is working towards other certifications. So when we go out on a 2,000-square-foot house, it's one inspector doing multiple
mm-hmm.
Inspections at the same time to try to save us in this.
We
also try to pick up on each other. We don't want to cross paths when we're in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to route ourselves on the proper trap lines around the county so we're not doubling up and driving past the inspection. So, there's a lot of variables.
Well, the only other question I had was, and I know probably the state plays into some of these fees that are charged, but on the... different sheets back here in regards to the tables. There's not even dollars. There's a lot of 80s and 20s and such as that. Is that because of the state mandate fees, or is that something, because it's always kind of confusing people and say, I thought it was $110. Oh, it's $112 or 20 cents. So I just want clarification as to why they were that way.
You're referring to the state's form?
These codes.
Right.
And that's what I thought they must be, because it's state requirements.
Yeah, that's where the methodology gets really confusing. The way they have it, the way they have their fees broke down also, and the way they're expecting the building department itself to kind of follow their lead on that.
The one I'm specifically looking at right now is the electrical specialty codes, permit fees, electrical.
Okay, so the permit fees for electrical, where we're at like 94.80 on the fees. Are you talking about the change in these? Or
here, this one. Where the fees are spelled out and the new fees are there. Some of them end up with 80 cents and some with 20 cents. Is that because it was mandated to be a mathematical calculation by the state, or is that
It was my mathematical calculation on that. I believe on these was 20% on.
So it had to be increased by 20% for the state. So that's how it came out.
Yeah. It had the 20% increase was based on what I reviewed in the averages and such. So our electrical program was the closest to average than any of the other programs as far as structural or plumbing and mechanical. This was another one where there was no methodology to that. I couldn't take the 10 other jurisdictions and say, oh, it's 10% more than the minimum for med fee. That makes sense. It was all over the board. Mm-hmm. Some were 50, 60%. Some were 10%. It was just everywhere. So figuring my averages being 20%, that's how I basically went down the fee schedule along the electrical, which just went up 20%.
What about the plumbing specialty code?
So the plumbing, I did not raise that 110%. You know, so I needed 110% just to get to 115. Yeah, just to get to that average. Uh-huh. I believe I looked at all the individual fees, and I believe it's at 30% as well.
I see 30, yeah.
But that's not always the case. Like, I'm looking at the sewer cap, $15.50 to $75.
Again, I'm looking at jurisdictional, you know, and I'm thinking my methodology was, okay, we're out there, we're looking, we're already there, and there's a cap. We can verify that cap's there. We can verify that on a structural final.
So you're already there, and you're proposing the plan. I'm just trying to be the devil's advocate ahead of time. You're already there. Your current fee is $15.50 to see that that cap is there and whatever else you're looking for. And you're now proposing to charge $75 for that.
Well, what this is the individual fee, if we were just to go out, I brought these fees up to the minimum inspection fee that we have that Robert proposed to you. We moved a site inspection fee up to $75. Mm-hmm. This is only if somebody calls and says we have one catch basin in O'Brien to look at. Then it would be a minimum $75 fee to go out to O'Brien and look at that one inspection. The majority of the plumbing inspections are covered.
So what is it if you are doing multiple things? Or how do you capture that?
Again, this is where the state's methodology on their fees get a little confusing. But we go by number of bathrooms as a straight fee. One bathroom house, two bath house, three bath house. That covers your water line, your sewer lines, your cap, your catch basin, whatever we're out there for. Okay. So there's no increase. It's not like, oh, well, you have one more catch basin to look at when we go out there. That's going to be another $75. It's covered as a whole. So if you built a two-bedroom house on that property, this one fee, $344,
we'll grab it,
will cover the whole house, including 100 feet of water line and 100 feet of sewer.
So you wouldn't have that $75.
No, you wouldn't have that. It's just an individual. For us to go out and look at a catch basin for $16, 3 miles doesn't even cut it, you know. So I'm trying to
disincentivize people to do just one.
Right, but if they want the one, we provide the service. That we, you know, even at $75 to go out to O'Brien, we're losing, but we're providing the service, and we've always provided the service no matter what. And the average since 2008 is a loss of $220,000 a year out of this department. So unbeknownst to me, when I did these fees, I wasn't looking at how much money can I recoup in order to be in the black with the budget. It just happened to come out about $179,000 based on 2015 revenue. Mm-hmm. We had a projected loss for 2016 of $178,000 or $74,000 or something like that. So I wasn't looking at increasing these fees just so I can make up that loss.
That will come close.
What's that?
But it will come close.
It did. And but that's not how I went into it. I went into it really as look at what is the average, what are our stakeholders paying in other counties, and what's fair.
Okay.
And I totally understand what you mean by my cost. And I wish I could really come up with a better methodology for figuring that cost out. It's just very.
This was your first year.
Yeah.
Next year you'll have a better grasp on it. That's okay.
Right. And then on that you can see that, you know, we do an average of 15 inspections a day over the year, 143 miles we cover. So cover a lot of territory, and just difficult to average that.
Yeah, that is. Any other questions for the building safety?
From my perspective, you are expected, in my understanding of this management role, you are expected to go through all of this and come up with the $75 fee or whatever. Then that is my responsibility is to support that or argue about it or whatever. But once that decision made, that becomes my job as commissioner to support you and to defend that $75 fee.
Sure.
That's not a fee you have to defend. That's been established. We have decided that. Good. Someone wants to squawk about it. They squawk me, and then I might call you up and say, yeah, is this someone? Okay, no, because that's what we've decided. Okay, good. It's a done deal. It's not your continual battle to have to defend. Okay. It's been decided, and I think that's one of the reasons for the minutia questions of finding how do we get what, because there has to be a subtleness on my part to be able to say, okay, it's defensible, and once that is done, your fat's not in the fire anymore. You just have a job to do. So.
Anything else for them?
I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to support this. I just want to be honest. And I think along Commissioner Heck's thing, it's not, you know, that I disagree that you do need to increase your fees. It's that I have that without calling you up, the rationale to defend these things. And I don't know that it's there. I don't know that you guys came up with this proposal in conjunction with the board and having that philosophy refined. So if you have, I mean, I'm really interested in your department making it fiscally. Mm-hmm. But also, if that comes with refining the idea that we say, we're not going out to O'Brien to inspect a $75 a cap on a sewer. That's just an example. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to be able to do that if I have another inspection in that area for whatever cost of a fee to be efficient. So there's always the balance with saying, you know, you've got this cost. You can't just always justify recouping costs if you're not looking at how do we reduce costs and make them more efficient. Mm-hmm. And that's the balancing act. And so the reason we don't just use the average as an example is, okay, so we increase all of our fees, and sometimes it looks like, you know, by 150% sometimes. So then next year, Curry County takes a look at our fees included in that 10-county average, because we increase them by 150%, they increase theirs by 25%. But then the next county, Douglas County, looks at how we increase cumulatively, it'd be about 100%, you know, if you split the average. Then that interest, that, you know, see how the average can always just outpace. And we use the same counties all the time in this revolving thing. So that can't be the end all be all of why we. It's a great place to start. Parks uses it. We call all the parks around and stuff. But eventually, everybody's fees are just, you know, so it has.
And they're all justifiable.
They're all justifiable based on that one argument. It has to be refined on. And I like the idea that you said that it makes sense. And that's, I want to get to where I understand when you're saying it makes sense, that I agree, that it makes sense. Yes, I'm there 110%, and I can say, yeah, that's why that inspection is $150. Maybe the sewer cap inspection really recoups costs, but that's all we're doing is one thing. And it's probably their fault. They didn't have it done right when you were out there to start with, when you were reevaluating everything else. But it tells me that, or something, somehow. And it's not captured as a sewer inspection. It's captured as a revisit on something you didn't have done. And that totally makes sense to me. You hand in your paper a day late, and the best grade you can get on it is a C. It could be an A paper. I don't have an example.
Well, one thing we do in the county, and we have for years now, and it was set with Dave Bassett back earlier when I was working with the department, is Monday, Wednesday, Friday for Cape Junction in order to cut those costs,
yeah,
in order to combine our inspections.
Right.
And we already do push off inspections sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we only have one out there. Can we push this? We always ask.
Yeah.
If they say, no, we have to have it done, we provide a service, you know.
Right.
And I want to give everybody that opportunity to have that good service. Most people are reasonable.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, we can do it on Friday.
Right.
No problem.
Right.
It's not holding us.
There's other stuff.
And then we also work with them through means of, well, if you need to insulate, go ahead and insulate, and we'll go ahead and take care of your framing inspection and insulation at the same time on Friday,
yeah,
rather than going out there for the single inspection.
That
so
sounds great, but how is that reflected here that if you do it, if you combine it, is it still 75, or how are you making the discretion that it's less than that? If we're saying as a board, $75 for this fee, I don't know how. That's what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm,
getting in your mindset of saying, okay, if there's efficiencies here, we can work with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is the most challenging. You know, there's no efficiencies if people bring three people in their car to the parks, or they bring one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $5 fee for parking there.
Right.
I don't know how that's captured. Yours is complex.
I think he's really set a goal for the department this year, though,
mm-hmm,
in regards to what you said, is that he really didn't have a place to start.
Right.
And it had been a long time since most of these fees had even been addressed. So I think by the homework that he did do in looking at all of the other counties and trying to, you know, looking at setting what would be an established average and fair fee for doing this, and this will give him a baseline. That doesn't mean he has to go on averages from here on. It gives him a baseline. In evaluation next year, it may well be, gee, we need to reduce this one by $50, or we need to increase this one by $75. I mean, that'll be something that then you'll have your own numbers and your own benchmarks to go by as to what the cost will be. But I think this is really, I think you went to a lot of work, and I think you've done really a good job when you have all these pages and pages of things that you have to look at because there's so many variables in them.
Right.
I mean, having been a person who did a lot of building, and not only for myself, but a contractor government, there's a lot of things that you have to consider and a lot of variables in it. And not everybody, even in a subdivision, when they say everything's going to be finished that day for you to inspect, you get out, oh, we didn't get those two on the end done. You know, so there's always variables.
Well, and one thing I've noticed, now, again, I took 10 counties. I think Josephine County uses like six. I wanted,
mm-hmm,
to extend that,
mm-hmm,
out.
It doesn't matter. You know, for your thing, you can evaluate it based on, you know, like counties, geographic, whatever.
Sure.
We're
sure
bound by the employee review board to, mm-hmm, the six or eight counties that we have.
I see.
And it's based on population. It means nothing about geography. In this situation, geography is our comparator.
Yes.
That means everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson County is a comparator where they're not in the employee review board. So you're using the right stuff.
So one thing I noticed with Building Codes Division and other jurisdictions for their fee increases, pardon me, was that I've yet to see any jurisdiction raise fees more than once in a 10-year period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very common for fee increases in the building departments. Most of them are still at, you know, 2003, 2005, you know, fee rates. I would not expect to change any of these fees for a period at minimum 10 years, if not even stretching out to another 20 years. And why they don't just continually move their fees around, I'm not sure.
Because they're complicated, and they're controversial,
yeah.
And it's tough. Mm-hmm. So that's why what Commissioner Walker just said is not a, it's not a philosophy that I can endorse, is we can refine this next year.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, manufactured dwellings have stayed at 210, and justifiably, it probably needs to be 375.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But manufactured dwellings is the people who can least afford, so it's every element along the thing from a driveway
sure
approach that we just doubled or proposed to double, And so instead of it costing $500 to do this manufacturer hookup, it's now costing $1,000, which puts a person who's least able to afford, see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where it's gone. That's what I have to put my mind into every single one of these things is, nope, that's what it's costing. Well, wait a second. Did you do an efficiency element with, you know, what's the sweet spot for putting in a manufactured home cumulatively? Not just your inspection and your inspection and public works. It's like, now it's costing a lot of money. Mm-hmm. The same to put in a house. There should be some efficiency with getting this thing that just got manufactured up in Harrisburg and, you know, dropped down here and rolled in and put on a... So that's where I'm going to have to... I have to know every single one of these things, and it sounds cumbersome, and that's why probably people don't do it. But with your justification, your proposed fee is $440 and your cost of service is $375. I can't go there, you know, like a $350. Now you're talking... You know what I mean? And I hate using every one as an example. That $90 is real money to somebody who's putting in a manufactured home, and I have to, that's my job. So I'm not trying to find fault with your proposal at all, and I don't think you feel it.
No, I don't.
I just want to refine it.
And that's one thing that you know, I myself, for years now with the department, and what I teach my guys also, is we don't do punitive re-inspections. And I really push that with them. You know, we're not there. You can write, you know, re-inspect fee possibly required. We're not going to charge you. Because, you know, unless it's
you
some blatant
right,
violation.
Which I really
exactly.
Appreciate.
We're there to provide the service.
Yeah.
Manufactured dwellings are one of those inspections where it's normally a minimum of 3 to 4 inspections, and sometimes it stretches out to 6. And along your point, there's people of lesser means, lesser education sometimes, and sometimes it takes us a little hand-holding to get them into compliance without just saying, you failed.
Right.
You know, we don't want to do that.
No.
We want to be a department that helps all our stakeholders, whether it's people of lesser means and trying to do the right thing on their own without hiring a professional.
Sure.
And then also for our professionals. And time is money. And for our general contractors, we don't like to put them off. I was a builder. My guys were builders. We all know that time is money. We know that our client, the last thing they want to hear is we were turned down on an inspection. You know, we want to give them the courtesy of, you know, we can see that at the next inspection, take some pictures, whatever.
Yeah.
So we really are service-oriented. But I'm looking at department that from 2008 to now, I'm afraid in 3 years without a fee increase, this department goes back to the state.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
The unspoken monster at the table is in 1993, a $100 fee that would cost $165 fee today, the same because of inflation. So that's the same amount of time. So
that's one thing I actually didn't take into consideration because I felt like it's not really a fair way to tabulate or.
No, I mean, but that's the part of this monster that is a nationwide issue. That's not just a localized issue.
Right.
But to try to be as sensitive as one can be, but yet on the other hand, to realize, it's the nature of the beast. And we have to somehow work the best we can within those parameters.
I just wanted to, so when we, you know, Mark worked on this piece and I worked on this piece, and we did look at certain, thank God I didn't, but we did talk, you know, Mark and I had the same philosophy about customer service, and that is, you do whatever it takes to make that customer happy. And
that's what I really appreciate about this conversation. You have said nothing in this whole conversation that has given me an idea that you're not looking at it through that lens, and that I really appreciate. That's huge. It means more to me than anything else. That is paramount. That's the agenda that's driving this and everything else we do. So,
well, Mark has had an interesting. Just give you an example. We'll have people say, you know, they want to get a building up to quick get their grow in there, and Mark is out there at 7 o'clock at night doing inspections to make sure he's providing that customer service. And it's not just on that. It's on everything. But so just on the mobile home example, a lot of those happen to be the medical hardship ones. Yes, his fee goes up a little on that one, but mine went down a little on that one. So we tried to make sure we weren't having a major negative impact, but still
capturing
what should be captured, but making sure that
we're as best as you can.
To not be overly burdensome to somebody that really needs that service.
Yeah. You know, and as far as, I don't want to make the billing department some big profitable, business. I would just want to make it secure and have those reserves for when our economy does pick it up, as we all know in the 80s and in the late 2000s. And we've got to be able to ride those storms out.
Mm-hmm. And you're required to as well.
Well, other than that,
But the state doesn't require much more than like a year's reserves, mm-hmm. which is good, and the other end of this in my thought process on this too is retention of the people that I have.
Mm-hmm.
They're all native Josephine County people, and the problem with so many building departments, including here in Josephine County, is people run to Jackson County and they make considerably more money.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to provide for my guys is that stability, that retention. And I can't do that losing $170,000 a year. And it costs the county a lot of money to retrain and to bring on someone new and put them through the training and get them up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know contractors, there's pushback every time you bring a new field inspector in. There's pushback.
Or a new fee increase.
And I had a separation from the county for about 5 years and came back to the same job, amazingly, thank God. And I had pushback from guys that I've been dealing with since 1998. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So retention is very important, providing for these guys and allowing them to have a really decent career and job within Josephine County, their home.
So how do we get to a compromise here? Because I would really like to endorse this proposal, and it may be that the majority of the board just votes for it, but I feel like your comment about just the example of the manufactured wrongdoing home hardships element, and seeing the current fee being $210, current revenue is $210, expected revenue moving into $440 is $440. We only do one of those a year? I want this to be something I can use. That's like, we do 10 of those a year, and the revenue should be 4,400, not 2,100 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That it really adds up, and that isn't going to be accomplished in this workshop. I understand that. So how do we move forward, saying that we're going to take current fees like we did in public works, and do a phased in approach to achieve that sweet spot? With an agenda of this board, for me and Commissioner Heck and myself, over the next 2 years, this is a multi-year project to get them to your average of what you're saying, and justifiably so. Because right now I'm going to have to say there's too many things that I don't understand in here that might be justified. Without the explanation, that I'm going to just have to say no, and that's not going to serve your department well, being another $180,000 in the hole next year. When we could probably get that gap cut in half by doing something this year as opposed to doing everything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, I think that what I see on here is that if you take issue with the manufactured dwelling one, the state doesn't determine that fee. Over here, fee schedules, the state does make certain requirements, and I think that pretty much stayed within those guidelines of what he needed to increase to meet those requirements. But this one, the manufactured dwelling, if it's $210 and the cost of service is $375, I don't have any objection going to $375 because that's the cost of service. And that's, in my view, if you're placing a home, that's pretty minimal, particularly if you're going to be going out there several times. Mm-hmm. that's a pretty minimal fee, but I could go with that one.
Well, and here again, though, the difficulty is the end is over here. How do you achieve the end? I mean, that's the idea. Do you achieve the end in one fell swoop, or do you achieve the end in three steps? Is the department going to go under if you don't do it in one step? Or will it just, it can survive when you do it three steps? Because there is the reality, generally, without characterizing people who have mobile homes, generally they are not of the upper income folks that can well support a big one fell swoop increase. Mm-hmm. But they can adjust to two or three smaller increases to get to that. Mm-hmm. And that's that to me is the reality of it. And if we're looking at it through the eyes of the dweller, and I have no question on this, Mr. Harrison, the same thing, but I appreciate the idea. I have no question that that's your concerns. And
sure.
You go, okay, that's great. So how do we work with that in the reality of it? Is it able to be done in incremental increases of two or three, or does it? Is it mandated at half of you know, that to me is the issue. I appreciate
as far,
the rest
as far as like a state mandate, I don't believe that there is. I don't believe they mandate like all at one time, or that you can only raise fees once every 3 years or anything like that. I don't know of any language such as that. What I saw consistently in jurisdictions that did fee increases was it was pretty much one lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go, we're going to do everything at one time. I'm not sure why that's the case, unless the state, the Building Codes Division, has kind of put it that way. If you're going to do fee increases, you need to do them all now, get them all up to speed. Pardon me. I mean, can we do, forget the expression, a line item veto? Can we bring, you know, can we go through and look at just the costs that I've estimated and move those fees down to just the cost?
I
do intend on saving money in this department by, right now we have a third party doing our commercial work for us, which all three, Frank, Stephen, and myself will be certified within the next 6 months. All three of us will be certified for commercial plan review, fire life safety, and inspection on that. So we will be cutting our expenses considerably. I believe last year that was, I want to say $87,000, possibly $90,000, that we paid to a third party that I believe that we can.
But that wasn't a cost. That's just for a fee for service. The applicant pays that inspector on retainer, right? I mean,
yeah,
just looking to capture revenue.
At
not a cost. It's a revenue on capture.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a whole thing.
But at times we lose on by having that third party doing our plan review.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing money on many of those commercial projects. Because their expense for plan review is more than our take for the plan review fee.
Oh, okay.
The plan review fee. No, the plan review fee is based on state mandated fees. So we have our building permit. These are valuation tables that come every 2 years, and it tells us what we will charge for plan review. Whether that plan review takes 25 hours on a third-party guy and cost us, you know,
twice as much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my intent is to bring that in-house, which we all want to learn. We all want to be better at what we do and provide a better service, so we're not sending them out to a third party to get answers. We want to give them answers. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the concerns, you know, I think that, you know, if Mark had to, you know, he could, if it's not one that's using the state template, he could look at revising it or lowering it a little. One of the concerns, though, is, you know, we talked about how there's a reason why this is only done once every 10 years or so. So to say in 2 years can we get up to where we want to be, you know, he could look at that, but that's going against what we just talked about, which was the philosophy that you don't want to be increasing these fees every year or every 2 years. You know, that's why they're typically looked at. the ones that were 10 years.
I mean, for mine, I never got on board that boat. Mm-hmm. I think the fees ought to be reflective of the costs. Mm-hmm. Now, if the costs increase because of whatever situation, 10%, okay, the increase of the fee, of cost of the permit ought to be in 10%. Mm-hmm. If it decreases 10%, okay, in 2 years' time, you got an average. Okay, the decrease. I mean, if that to me is a variable that has to be defensible on the costs of performing a service. Mm-hmm. I think to wait 15 years, and I'm obviously what you're in the middle of the snake pit. To wait 15 years to redo the fees is like you want to just commit harakiri and get it over with.
I understand, you know, the former building official where, you know, the economy is going through a very difficult time. It's not the time to be raising fees, but I think it definitely could have been done, several years ago, possibly. But to bring these proposed fees down to the cost of service, I'm confident I can still get where I need to be with more education for my guys and myself, mm-hmm. and saving those outside. Costs that we have or fees that we charge. Mm-hmm.
Mark, do you have time today to look at lowering some of those in time for the hearing tomorrow? I mean, that's what you're asking, right?
What I'm looking to do, I'm not saying whether they need to be lower or higher. What I'm saying mm-hmm. is they need to reflect what we're talking about.
They need to justify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all. Commissioner Walker is talking about state-imposed fees. I'm looking at public plumbing specialty code. So it says 30% at the top. Maybe I just don't understand this, but the first three, they're not a 30%. They're 115% increase. And that's going to be a challenge when we're talking about that, whether it's 15 years and it could be accurate. Really the cost. And I'm going from 192 for a new construction of a single-family dwelling unit with three bathrooms and one kitchen from 192 to 41388. That's a substantial increase that needs to be justified in my mind because, yeah, that's why that is.
Yeah, I wish there was a very consistent methodology to it. You know, the one thing that single fee, those first several fees, is it gets you the whole project for that money.
Yeah.
There's no added fees. There's no added fixtures in that. That gets your rough inspections, your top-down inspections, your final inspections, any other miscellaneous inspections in between, which would be, for example, they put the sewer line in. We have to go out individually and just do that sewer line the day they dig it up so the rains don't, you know, they go across the road, what have you. We have to provide that service for them to maintain access to their property if they're cutting a water line across the road and things like that.
So the problem is we keep talking about specifics. Mm-hmm. And they're not delineated in here. And I had a conference call 12 minutes ago that I'm not on. I don't know what we can do. That's our job, is to come up with a philosophy.
I have a couple suggestions that you might want to consider. This is, as a process, keeper of the process guy, I feel that we can do a couple different options here. One, there is nothing that says that we have to adopt tomorrow.
Right.
We hold the public hearing tomorrow. We hear public comment tomorrow. But in years gone by, we would put off the actual adoption for another week or
right.
two. So I think that's an option. We can hear the public comment, take into consideration any suggestions they might have, and do a refined version of this in a week or two. However, I do remember where Julie, when she first came on board, she was saying, you know, I'd like to do a comprehensive review, you know, sometime in the next year, in the middle of the year. There is nothing that would prohibit the board, if the board's not comfortable moving forward with the building in particular, is to pull that specific piece out of the order, move the rest of it ahead, and we can revisit this in January or February. We have it's basically a 90-day process from start to finish to change our fees, But there's nothing that says it has to be October, November, December. It could be January, February, March, or March, April, May, you know, whatever, to give you the time to justify or to refine, I suppose.
Well,
to refine
the only thing
these
that the state requires from me is that I give them notice 45 days prior to it taking effect.
Mm-hmm.
So the state, as far as they're concerned, we can
pull it. I think you put too much work in to just say, you know, we're not going to do it, we will do it next year or something like that.
Or another month or two.
Another couple weeks or something. Mm-hmm. I think if I had an opportunity to sit down with you guys and go through these, I'm happy that we could kind of come back with a new proposal. Yes. And this is what it is. This time, when you're going all the way up to O'Brien, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, I would like to be able to, you know, go back through it and give you those answers.
Mm-hmm.
This is why
yeah.
we need that kind of dollar figure for
right.
that yep. house. And
so have the public hearing and then maybe a special meeting just to talk about the fees, the building safety
sure.
fees.
Well, if the board adopts the fees, they're not here next week, AOC. But the week after is Thanksgiving week, and I think you changed the meeting to Tuesday. So if the 22nd, yeah, Tuesday the 22nd. So, I mean, they could be on the agenda. It doesn't require another public hearing, but it could be on the agenda for Tuesday the 22nd, weekly business, if that gives you enough time to...
Yeah, and that would be my...
Can I just say I'm going on vacation
yeah,
so far. I'll
yeah.
go elk hunting,
right.
and I won't
Where's
be back for the 21st.
He just told us.
don't get
that
right.
That's good.
Can we just real quickly talk about me?
Yeah. You always want to talk about me. Let's finish up with Mark first.
I don't have to. I need to be on this call.
I know. I actually have some developers waiting for me for 10 o'clock. This was just more detail on that $20 for plant fee, and then I was going to answer any other questions you had.
Is this what I handed out?
I
think I handed this out.
Yeah, we have this. I've been trying to catch Wally, but it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. It is a voluntary.
It's a voluntary application. Is what it is.
It's not mandatory.
It's a voluntary fee.
It's a compliance. You're asking for a compliance certificate to say your property's in compliance.
So
is what it is.
It's not required that you get one, but if you want one, you can get it, and that's the fee to do it. Yeah, it's not mandatory.
Oh, that's a different twist, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I need to do.
That's been a lot of the misunderstanding about it. Is you're not required to have a compliance fee, but if you want one to save you hassle and trouble, I mean, that's compliance.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? We're going to reevaluate.
Well, it's the board's decision. I think you have two options. I think you can pull, you can just have a public hearing and then revisit the fees by next Tuesday the 22nd. And for both orders.
I hear that, okay.
Okay.
I like that idea from the standpoint that we have more time.
Yeah, because he's going to be gone.
Yeah, I know, that doesn't help.
No,
right?
Doesn't help.
So do we ask for another week?
Well, the thing of it is, from the time you adopt the fee to it becoming effective, you have to wait 30 days. That's our charter. So
sure.
Instead of July, and so instead of January 1, you can put it off till December. You can have the...
May I make a suggestion?
Get it right then.
We don't have any issue in regards to the other fees. It's just this one. We can just pull this section out and go ahead and
correct.
Hold the hearing and adopt the rest of them. So all the other departments will know where they're going January 1st.
Right.
And then we can work on yours separately.
And that piece of it can be either the following Tuesday or the following November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because mine's like a boat worker.
Yeah. So is that the plan? That we'll go ahead and hold the hearing, make the decision tomorrow on all the fees, excluding...
Yeah, pull exhibit, whatever that on the order. Yeah.
The one for the building safety.
First two.
So, what do you mean?
First two.
Oh, you
community
want to
development, the whole... package.
You want to hold planning and building safety?
If I could.
Okay. Is that okay, Community Tech?
Well, but it's going to be counterproductive, in my view, because he's not attacking you, Mark. He represents, as he says, he's got the big boat anchor. And that's going to...
We didn't even get into the other anchor.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the difficulty. So I'd much rather have whatever is going to be done. This is a piece of cake over here. This is the struggle.
That's what I'm proposing.
I think they're real awesome.
What I'm proposing is that we go ahead and hold the hearing and make the decision on all of the fees tomorrow, but for these. We pull these. Is that okay, Commissioner?
Oh, yes.
Community development, which includes building and safety.
Is that okay?
No, that's fine.
Great.
Okay, that's what we'll do. So can you make the paperwork happen?
Yes, we'll get it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Now, what day are we meeting? Because I just committed to a chamber meeting on the 22nd.
Okay.
It won't be on the 22nd.
Go on.
Okay. We'll
have better luck there than you had here.
Okay, I want to talk to you about one before. I know you have to go somewhere.
I would have loved to have this. Oh, all those counties just do 20%. That's great.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Send an email on what...
Life is not that easy.
No.
What you're doing is very much appreciated, Mark. You're trying to push what's going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If this doesn't go where you expect it to, and that kind of stuff.
Huh? Exactly.
What was your other issue for Commissioner?
I just wanted to ask on the assessor's office that... The current fee, this is the fee description for the assessor's subdivision petition for the assessor. Mm-hmm. And the current fee is $30. The cost of service is $54.90, but she's proposing a fee of $50. Why not $55, is my question.
Well, because $55 is over the cost of service, so.
If you round it up,
she's rounding up 10 cents.
15 cents.
No, it's $54.90.
She's a general fund dependent department, so $50 is just fine. She's not like Parks Department, Fairgrounds, has to capture cost of service.
Well,
taxpayers are subsidizing.
With declining revenues being on general fund, I would like to recover the cost.
But yeah, I mean, what would be if $54.90 could round it up? I mean, we do that. If it was $53, you would round it to $55. If it's $52, you would go down to $50.
They're a general fund dependent significantly. They're the only other one other than public safety that gets $600,000.
But then the general fund is eating $4.90 on each one. Mm-hmm. And our general fund isn't fat.
The proposal that she has. So I endorse it at $50.
I don't. It's
fine. Okay. I will support the liaison's approach to it.
You can't go over it. And
yeah,
it's average. And then so you err on the side of, it's going to cost $50. You know, and some of them, these developments are larger. The more you have, the ones she's dealing with are typically outside, obviously. They're smaller. So, $50. She was reluctant to raise it at all. It's not a big revenue generator. It's not a big cost to the department. $50 is a nice round fee. I'm looking to get less of these 55.
Right, 50. Yeah.
You know, let's increments of 25 would be ideal. So 50 is where I...
That's a great number, though.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
So, Commissioner Heck.
Yes, ma'am.
So what do you think?
I'll go with 50.
Okay. All right. Any other business?
No, not me.
Not you?
No.
Okay. Anything else? We're done. We're adjourned at 10:22.